today's episode is sponsored by our premium Patreon subscribers, Madonna Hines with a Sexy J, Chrissy Dougherty, and Mia Hansen Aloha. Thanks.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast that's about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me on this lovely hump day, Wednesday in Los Angeles, is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and Rose Prick's Bachelor Podcast and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks, available on iTunes. Hey, Ronnie, what's up?
Well, hello, Ben.
Do you hear the massive truck driving by my place? All my windows are closed. It's that loud. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear one, but there's one outside my house, too. What the hell's going on?
Whoa, maybe there's not one outside my house. Maybe I'm just hearing the one by your house.
I hope not, because I've got all of my windows closed, and I've got my mic right in my face.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, it is a beautiful day here in Los Angeles, and earlier this morning, I was having a moment of reflection about this podcast. First of all, we hit over 850,000 listens in the past 30 days, which is madness.
Sweet.
So thank you. I know we're always patting ourselves on the back these days, but it's really because of you guys, so thank you. But also, I was in Beverly Hills today, and I was amongst the hills of Beverly Hills, and I drove by a house that for a moment I thought was Dorit's house, and I was like, oh my god, it's Dorit's house, because it looked so much like it. And then I thought, this is very sad for me. And then I thought, how lucky, Caroline Fleming style, how lucky are we, though, that we get to sit here and do this podcast about Bravo and talk about these people and Vanderpump Rules and Beverly Hills. And we are, like, in the mix. It's conceivable we might, like, run into Dorit's house. That's such a cool thing.
Oh, my God. We're so excited about different things. Because I was going to ask you if it was a Ramada Inn. Because you know that shit they're in is a rental.
Yeah.
I'm like, the show's over. Yeah. Let's go to Ramada. I'll tell you what's the Best Western. This room.
PK only books us in the Best Westerns.
Yeah, I don't care. Except I would care if I had, like, one of those big, like, Hummer things that I could conceivably run PK down in. But otherwise, I don't care. I'd prefer not to see them. I like pretending they're just all fake. Which they are, by the way.
They are.
A friend tipped me off on Dorit's Instagram story thing or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really watch the stories.
Yeah.
I still watch television like an old person. So I clicked on her story. Dorit and PK were out of town somewhere in some hotel. Fucked up. Okay.
Really?
I've said on this show they're probably cokeheads about a million times, and man, if she doesn't prove me right. And the worst thing is, they were so fucked up, but they left it up. It was like from the day before, you know, it was like almost at the expiration time. And they were in bed, PK's shirtless, which, you know what? I'm not on drugs, PK, or I wasn't at that time. Please keep your shirt on.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Okay? There's no excuse for that, PK.
Yes, you can earn the time to take your shirt off. I can earn the time to take my shirt off, you know? We can all earn that chance. You have not earned it. Put it on.
Yeah.
So he and her were in bed, and she's like, PK, how come you got your initials monogrammed on your pillow? I don't got my initials monogrammed on my pillow, PK. And he's like, you need them initials. Cut. PK. I still don't got initials. And her eyes are like crossing and all dark, like dimes, black.
I wish I had seen this. You even texted me to look at it and I didn't get around. Oh my God.
Ben, it was like seven segments of just going, oh, PK, It's not fair, is it? The way you got your initials monogrammed. You know I want to be I'm a pillar with my initials big. And he's like, all right, I'll do it for you, darling. And he gets a pillow and like a pin, and he starts pulling off the bottom of the P.
Oh, my God.
Of the hotel pillow. So it'll be hers.
Oh,
it was
God.
So depressing, but also amazing. I was like, is social services following you?
And also, what sort of hotel were they in? So they had monogram pillows that said, I guess, PK on them. So what hotel is PK?
Like the, no, I think that he gets his... I think he's like Caroline. Own? He's like Caroline Stanbury. He's like, you know, I like to have all my initials stitched onto my pillows and my towels, so please get that done. It's like her last day in the hotel.
Let's be honest.
That's just a rich person thing.
Let's be honest. Those pillowcases are what he brings his clothing in. It's like, all right, I'm going to go back to the hotel. Got to leave our fake house. All right, put all the good stuff in the pillowcase.
Also, I hope the hotel saves like the spermiest pillowcases to do that for those rich assholes, because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is madness.
Really, one of the lower rent that. Rooms isn't even getting their toilet cleaned on time because they're all trying to figure out how to sew your stupid name on there. Stupid PK.
Stupid PK. Wow, I do wish I had seen that. You did text me to say, look at Dorit's Instagram, and I was like, I'm going to do it in a little bit, and then I just fully forgot. So I clearly missed a moment in Housewives history. Maybe someone was able to save it. I don't know if you're able to save other people's Instagram stories, but...
I would have screen recorded it, but I couldn't figure out how to do it on the computer. I could only do it on my phone.
Yeah, there's probably some app you could use, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I couldn't figure it out, but it would be good for somebody to have in their arsenal. Hopefully, like Lisa Rinna and Kim Richards and Eden and all the, you know, all the people obsessed with addiction did it, because, you know, she's the biggest one who's trying to make everybody into an addiction storyline. So it'll be interesting to show that right back in her face.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, today we are going to be talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and quite a doozy of an episode. Normally on Wednesdays, that's when we do our listener spotlight, but the people I reached out to send us a recording, I don't know if they checked their Patreon messages. So no listener spotlight today, but that's okay, because that opens up room for a different segment. And it's a newer segment that we don't know how often we'll get to do it, but when we get a chance to do it, we're going to do it. It's something we call, Is Ariana Mad at Us?
Is Ariana mad at us? Is Ariana mad at us?
I feel like it's like taking a nap now. So,
Ariana nap.
An Ariana nap, sleeping away. So we got two random tweets from Ariana. They actually happened like a week ago or something like that. But Ariana just tweeted at us. And if the question is, we never know if Ariana is mad at us or is cool with us. So when these tweets came through, I feel like we had a really better idea of where we stand with her. First, she tweeted at us and said, "You guys, I know I'm so behind, but I just got to listen to episode 376. I wasn't mad at you. By the way, can I get that song on iTunes?" And then she said, "I almost crashed my car because of my blurry, teared-up vision from laughing so hard." So, guys, I don't think Ariana's mad at us right now.
So not mad at us.
She is not mad.
Okay, but I have another one that's questionable. This is from February 27th.
Oh, that's more recent than these were.
Yeah. Tom Sandoval won. Loves the Hormel Foods pepperoni one-man band commercial, Pizza Slice. Is that a diss? Let's just take everything personally.
Wait, was that tweeted at us or is it tweeted?
No, I'm just looking at her timeline. Oh. I'm just going to find a way to get upset about everything.
It could have been a passive-aggressive remark about us. So I wouldn't, you know, she could still, we could have made her mad again. I mean, her last name has the word mad in it. Her name is Maddox.
I'm claustrophobic and asthmatic. It's the only way I can cuddle without suffocating. Because someone said, of course, Ariana is the big spoon. Now, is that against me?
I noticed that 14 hours ago, she tweeted something. It's really technically she's retweeting Jimmy Kimmel, but she wrote 5 smiley faces with hearts in their eyes, and I can't help but feel like that might be sarcastically referencing us. Like, love you, bitches. Hope you die, you know?
Yeah, now I'm just reading her whole line. She's actually really nice. It's hard to find anything to use. In a mean way.
She wrote, Gaga, ooh, Lala. I think that's a reference to our love of Lala.
Okay, so she's officially not mad.
She's officially not mad at us. Yay.
Is Ariana mad at us? Is Ariana mad at us?
Guys, is it me or is it summer? I mean, seriously. Seriously. I'm not used to being warm at this time. It's making me feel weird. Like, it goes from being winter, I've got my electric blanket turned all the way up, my dog's shivering, and then the next day it's goddamn summer out here. I mean, what the hell? Make up your mind, weather.
I know, I had to shed a layer. And now I'm, like, exposing my undershirt, which is really not meant to be exposed. And now I have a weird sort of yellow goldenrod situation happening in my apartment. If anyone walked in and saw me now, they would just think I don't even know what I'm look like right now. Sort of like a banana.
A hot banana.
A hot banana, but it's rotting on the bottom. Because my pants are goldenrod and my t-shirt is yellow.
Spotted banana. All right, let's get on with this Real Housewives.
Let's get into
it. Recap, shall we? What an episode.
Yeah. You know it's a good episode when the main party starts 10 minutes into the show, right? So, wow. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. Well, we begin with Kyle and her organizer, Tia, arranging some stuff in her garage. That's the other mark, by the way. The other mark of a good episode is the first 10 minutes are so stupid. Because they're like, well, we got to put something in here. So here, let's watch Kyle move some boxes around and, like, never come back to it the rest of the episode.
Yeah, basically, we already know that that's all stuff that she took out of the house she stole from Kim. So it's like, you know, like inflatable whoopee cushions, you know, mirrors with weird white streaks on them.
VHS copies of every cartoon ever made. You know that Kim gets high and watches the Snorks. She's like,
yeah, pretty
wow.
much. I think. He got such a big nose, F. Murray Abraham.
Kyle, I can't come to Y. I gotta pick some Smurf berries.
Yeah, you also know it's a really good episode because they do shit. They're like, oh my god, Kyle has nothing to do. And she's like, guys, I know what I can do today. Clean my garage. Those are always the ones where then shit just hits the fan and starts spraying everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And also, we should mention that Kyle was wearing a Justin Bieber-esque vest hoodie situation with no sleeves. I did not approve.
Yeah, put it in a box, Kyle. Close it forever. It's like, what are we going to do with the loose tea lights? It's like, buy some new ones. You're rich, okay?
Just go stow it away with your VHS copy of Oliver and Company, please.
Yeah, you've got enough money to just, like, line up orphans all around your party and just start their hair on fire. You don't even need tea lights. You're rich. You're bitching.
We learn that Carney Wilson will be coming over tomorrow to cook food for the girls, or because she has a catering/dessert company or whatever, and that Kyle met Carney on Celebrity Apprentice. You know, it's a shame that they didn't think to actually air these episodes before the Celebrity Apprentice started airing, because all they do is promote that show on this show.
Yeah, that kind of would have helped.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's talking on the phone with Vanderpump, and she's like, darling! She said, what are you doing, Lisa? She's like, oh, fuck off! That's my kind of relationship. So yeah, Kyle got to say Celebrity Apprentice a lot to try and convince us that she's still a celebrity. And she's like, oh my god, I was going around singing Boy George songs and Carney Wilson songs. Oddly enough, nobody quoted my lines from ER, but it's okay.
No one came up to me to talk about that show I was in with the dead maid who was a ghost.
Although one of the PAs did run around going, get your mics on, stat! Which, you know, was kind of a quote, half a quote.
I thought it was weird when Arnold Schwarzenegger came up to me and said, you're such a fucking liar, Camille. I was like, I'm not Camille. And then Camille shows up. Oh, it's such a liar. Yes, Arnold. So sad. That's actually, by the way, Camille would do so well on Celebrity Apprentice. She would never be fired because she would just repeat whatever Arnold was saying to her. You know, she'd be like, you be Arnold trying to talk some sense into Camille.
You know, when we came up with the idea for the lollipop challenge, I was hoping that you would come up with interesting challenge to do it, but you know, banana lollipop. I've already heard of it before.
So you're fired. Fired. So sad.
She could never be a lawyer in court. She'd just be terrible. She could never be a witness. She just. So you were walking into the store and you saw a man with a gun.
The gun.
And then took the gun and shot.
It was an old lady.
She confessed.
So guilty.
I move for an immediate dismissal. She confessed.
The judge is like, objection, objection. So interrupted. Yeah, so sad. They would just get frustrated.
So how sad that we're going to be celebrating
somebody else's. Yeah, when on the same day that we hear about our friend's split.
So upsetting.
I know.
That truly has never gotten old.
Unlike Camille, that will never get old. So Vanderpump was still on the phones like, oh, you're having a cheesecake party. So you're not inviting Rinna, I take it.
Yeah.
Carol's like, no, I invited Rinna. And also I invited
Eden.
Who'd she say? Eden.
She goes, yeah, I invited Eden. And Lisa's like, what about Kim? And she's like, and Kim. I'm like, Kyle, do you even think about your parties before you put them together? Do you ever think about seating arrangements or people? Like, you know, when I just have people over to play Catan, I think about that. And that's only three other people. And I think, who's going to get along? Do you ever think about these things, Kyle?
No, Kyle loves this shit. It keeps people from talking about her husband, you know, doing whatever he's doing, which I haven't read in any blogs, which means I guess Vanderpump is still being friends with Kyle.
Well, Kyle's excuse is, she says, well, if everyone's in the room, no one can lie. I'm like, yes, they specifically can lie, which is why they always fight, because someone's always lying.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be the same fight we've seen now for 7 seasons. And you know what? I'm still down for it.
I'm still
excited to see it. I'm like, oh my God, I wonder if Kim's drunk this time. Yeah. It's like the big continuing storyline, you know?
Yeah.
So Lisa's like, oh, sounds great, click. Okay, so next is Eileen. And, you know, Eileen, I guess, has stopped shitting because she's back on camera.
Yes.
So that's nice.
They finally got the shipments of Pepto-Bismol to arrive. It took 5 days because, you know, she doesn't have Amazon Prime.
I love Eileen's thought process. She's like, all right. I want to start shooting in the kitchen because I've got a new sun hat rack. And I don't want Brandy Glanville saying anything nasty about my kitchen. So please do start with a close-up of the sun hat rack.
You know, all they show is her kitchen these days. I mean, her house is actually huge, but all we see is the kitchen.
Yeah. Even when her son's hiding in a laundry bag, it's in the kitchen. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to get any of the other rooms dirty.
Yeah.
Stay in your sun hat rack.
Yeah, sun hat rack.
I don't want to have to move the sun hat rack to the living room.
Well, Vinny said he could put some wheels on it so it could just go from room to room, but we obviously have not reached that level yet.
Well, I was so sick, I got a scooter for my sun hat rack.
I named it Crashly.
Carl.
Oh, that's on Friday,
so
guys.
She's having Erica over to run lines, except that they don't really know what her role is yet because Erica auditioned for the show, but apparently how soap operas work, they're like, okay, we like that dumb horse, and now we need to come up with a role for her, and then we need to, you know, really go over the ins and outs of the lunch. I'm like, this is a 5-line role, right?
Yeah.
So Eileen, I guess, has come up with a bunch of scenes that she's got typed out.
Yeah.
And Vinny's like, you're so nice. You're so nice to make someone drive all the way from Pasadena to Malibu, which is like 2 hours sometimes.
Right. For what could
to go over scenes that you wrote yourself.
Yeah. And I liked how did Eileen write those scenes? I thought that it was that there were just some sort of scenes that had finally been written. It doesn't matter. I just thought it was funny.
I don't know, but it would be funny if it was like drama class and it was just scenes from random plays.
Death of a Salesman.
She's like, okay, fences. You're selling my character fences.
All right.
I think. I haven't read it.
All right. Now, do you need some, we need some cayenne pepper for your nose so you could get a Viola Davis nose snot moment?
Erica's like,
I'd like to thank everybody for this award. Being an actor, it's the only job that knows how to celebrate pussy.
Celebrate a life. Celebrate a life.
Oh, okay. All right, start over.
It's a live show, Erica.
All right, La La Land wins.
Erica's like, Troy, did you not know that I, didn't you know that I knew that the ground wasn't going to produce anything but weeds anymore? Troy. Like, okay, well,
just all inappropriate roles. She's like,
you told Hoppo to beat me.
The color purple.
I just love her sort of like Shecky Catskills way of reading.
You told Romeo, Romeo, where art thou, Romeo?
Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
I always rely on the comfort of strangers.
This one's heading too close to home. Let's go back to the fence salesman.
I wish I knew lines from Death of a Salesman.
Willie Logan, nice to meet you. I'm someone who's going to use a different salesman from now on.
Now, if you look at this mirror under the seat, you can see a mirror for your feet. Grizzly Adventure!
Wasn't he a shoe salesman in that movie?
I think that's Al Bundy. I think Willie Logan... Willie Logan would just travel along, and he had his three sons, and he just became a man who talked of things that never, the American dream that never quite happened for Mr. Logan.
Oh, so sad. But the point is, Erica's going to win an Emmy, guys, okay?
You know that Camille watches Death of a Salesman and recites the lines along with the play. Willie Logan, selling soap to, yeah, so sad, Willie Logan.
I love how Eileen acts like she's an Oscar-winning actress. She's like, well, I feel responsible for her because I brought her on the ship. And it's a big responsibility when you let someone in this crazy world of five-day-a-week shooting on a show that people make up as it goes along. And then she's like, okay, I'm on the phone. And then she does the phone like the hang 10 sign, which if anybody's ever taken an improv class, everybody does that when they do that. Like, I'm answering the phone. And they go, is that how you hold the phone? No. You hold it by the stem. Idiot. And I just thought, man, poor Eileen hasn't even gotten through Improv 101 yet.
One of my favorite skits from SNL was Phil Hartman as the acting teacher who'd put like his hands up against his face. He goes, this is something. And then he'd move his hands and go, this is nothing. This is something. This is nothing. This is something. This is nothing.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Erica's like, I mean, Eileen's like, the phone's ringing.
Well, get the liar to do it. Get her to answer it. It's what we pay her.
No, it's in the scene.
Yeah. That'll do, Steve. Does this set have entrances?
I'm like a cat on a hot tin roof. Ah, wilderness.
Does anybody smell something in here, by the way? Is that me? Did I step on something on the way in here?
No, never mind. Never mind that. I'm better.
Hey, right, Eileen, there's someone saying he's a creditor at the doorway.
I'd like some more conviction by that.
No, for real. I think you've got some gambling debts that you have to deal with.
It's like, that's two method. So, Rinna... So Rinna is at home. Basically, this is Rinna's episode. And in all the previews, we saw the clip of Rinna going, ah, it's my time of reckoning, baby. Like scared. Scared to reckon. So we know this is the Rinna confession episode. So
yes.
Since I guess Lorena is back burying that flower back in the backyard that she unearthed during the barbecue, Rinna has no one to shoot with. So she calls, who else? Harry Hamlin, baby.
And I like that Rinna went and sat down on her couch with giant white pillows that look like teeth. She has a tooth couch. I don't know if you noticed that, but go back and look. And the way, you know, because Lorena did that thing to couch to pillows, you know, where you do a chop in the on the top. You know, yeah. You know where you chop them? So The way that they're all chopped, it just looked like Rinna was sitting amongst recently pulled teeth.
You know what's even creepier? Did you notice the skinned goat head on her coffee table? It was like a goat head skull. Like,
I didn't notice that.
What the fuck is happening at this house?
Did you notice the little girl crawling out of a well from her TV? That was crazy too.
It's like, Harry, I'm just calling you because I'm trying not to look at the TV. I don't want to die, Harry.
Harry, I was taking a shower, and then fingers were coming out of the back of my head, baby. It was very strange, and there was a little Japanese boy on the ceiling.
Oh, and people make fun of me for being the one with the same haircut for years and years.
You know, I get it. Our house is haunted, but I own it. I own the house, and I'm having a hard time selling it. It's got ghosts.
Hey, honey, you might be in a better mood if you'd get maybe like a hair clip or something.
Yeah, so she calls up Harry Hamlin, and she's basically like, you know, Harry Hamlin, you know, I don't remember saying these things, but it sounds like the stuff I would say, and I don't think Eden would lie. So I'm like, okay, Rena, all right. Like, I think it's nice that she's now letting Eden off the hook, but this is kind of the only way Rena can get out of this jam, because now she has to, she sort of took too much of a stance in saying she didn't remember, and now she has to sort of start massaging.
Yeah, but
like, well,
she's doing it in a way that she's like, well, you know what, it's so crazy, I don't remember it, but I must have said it, because either Eden's a liar or I just, yeah, I mean, she can't be a liar, she's Eden Sassoon. Why would Eden lie? Yeah. Eden Sassoon was a liar. I would have known. I trusted her father's conditioner. She would never do this, baby.
Like, she's making it so much harder, you know.
If just Eden say, doesn't look good, then I don't look good. That's the rule of the Sassoons. So if Eden's a liar, she doesn't look good, and then I don't look good. So she has to look good.
Yeah, and also Rena has had the unfortunate fortune of finding friends that are actually kind of true to you no matter what. Like, Eileen will stick by her no matter what, even though Eileen has kind of caused a lot of problems for her.
Yeah, especially last season.
And then Erica is being pretty, you know, stick to her. And so I think she feels like if she gets Eden on her side,
mm-hmm.
then Eden will be true to her, and then she could have more people on her side, you know. But Eden's not true to anybody, unfortunately.
Yeah, I kind of actually feel bad for Eden in the mix of all this, because it's just, she just got caught in the middle, and now everyone just hates her now. And I kind of feel bad. I actually understand where Eden was coming from at this point. And yeah, she just sort of, you know, when you get the cold shoulder from Carney Wilson, that's a tough feeling.
I mean, that's like a cold, cold, cold shoulder.
Cold, Carney soft, Wilson. Comfortable shoulder.
I mean, so, when Carney Wilson's not trying to shove a mini cheesecake down your throat, you know you did wrong.
These are for the other women. So Rena is basically now saying that she was so mad, baby, after the game night, that in the heat of the moment, she told Eden all these things. I'm like, now, you know, we love Rena. Rena was wonderful enough to even come on this podcast. But that felt like a little bit like a stretch to me, because it wasn't the heat of the moment anymore. It was afterwards. It was like a day, at least one day later. You know, I don't feel like a day later still counts as heat of the moment, right?
Yeah, I think she knows, but she doesn't know how to explain herself properly, because she doesn't know how to just say, yeah, I said she's close to death and Kyle's an enabler. I've always been saying that. And that is, you know, being sober 5 minutes doesn't mean that that's still not true. And I'm sorry it hurt your feelings, but I didn't say it to your face because I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I was talking to another addict.
Yeah.
About what it's like that you're an addict.
There's also a chance,
which would still be bad, but
yeah, there's also a chance that they were, Eden and Rena were talking about game night earlier in, you know, that was not shown on camera. And in that conversation, she got all like stirred up, and, you know, because that happens too. I mean, I know I have been a victim of that recently, where you start talking about something and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're just going in on someone like crazy. And then it is like a fugue state. So I would get that too.
Well, I think she's wrong, but I think it's a good time to also point out, before we get into all the craziness, that you can tell the people who are truly, truly in recovery, okay? Mm-hmm. Eden, she's probably been in recovery for 5 minutes because she's blaming everybody else for being an alcoholic, which is like a sign of new recovery. Mm-hmm. But Eden is not afraid to talk about it. If you said, Eden, you were a sloppy-ass drunk who crashed your car into a tree and, you know, stole things from people's house, she'd be like, I know, I was a mess. And now in my journey, it's almost like they're proud of not being that, you know?
Yeah.
Or Carney, she's like, well, I was drunk. It was amazing. God, I love to drink. But, you know, now I just eat a lot.
Yeah.
You know, they love to talk about it. It's like when you're on a diet and you've lost a lot of weight. You like to talk about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Kim is still in that, like, how could you say that I was close?
I feel like if she was truly, truly on the right road, she would be saying, you're right. I could have died at any moment, which she kind of did towards the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, just stop talking shit about me. That's all.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's always a war of, look, it's not about what Kim does ever. It's never about what Kim does. It's how people react to it, you know? Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to that shortly, but I agree 100% with what you're saying. So either way.
Well, look at that rarity. What a lovely hump day.
Well, we generally agree. We generally agree.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
We just talk in a way that sounds like we're disagreeing, but we're usually just agreeing.
Yeah.
I'm like quietly emphasizing something, and you're more excitedly emphasizing something, so it sounds like we're not on the same page.
I'm more violently emphasizing something.
I'm refined and civilized, and you're a monster.
Pretty much.
No.
That's what it's going to say on our headstones when we're buried next to each other. Yours will say refined, civilized, and mine will say monster.
So anyway, darling, so Harry Hamlin's mad because he doesn't like hearing that people think that Rinna wanted to hurt Kim. He's like, I can't believe, why would anyone think that Rinna wants to hurt Kim? I actually don't think that Rinna wanted to hurt, has actually ever wanted to hurt Kim. I've always maintained that. I think that Rinna just doesn't realize that sometimes, like, she does need to be quiet because she is being hurtful.
Harry's like so nice and supportive, but he's also kind of causing the problems because he's her guru. So she's like, Harry Hamlin, what do I say? And he's like, well, look, if Kyle wants to be an enabler, that's her road. If she wants to stop being an enabler, that's up to her. It's not your business. And, you know, if Kim does heroin, eats potpourri and chokes on an aniseed because she's wasted, well, that's up to her, hon. You just have to support people in their terrible decisions. And he's saying it in a way that probably people won't get mad. But then Rinna takes that and she's like, oh, my God, you eat potpourri.
Well, Harry Hamlin can say it perfectly right because he spent many years serving as a lawyer on NBC. So he knows. He knows how to be a good orator.
Yeah. Great. Okay,
thanks.
So let's
thanks
move
for supporting
on
my LA Law joke, Ronnie. Thanks.
I did. I laughed. I just didn't watch enough LA Law. I was like, hot lawyers? I don't think so.
Well, I was going to work in a Susan Day reference, but I guess it's just move forward.
Yeah, I'm totally out of LA Law references. Now, if you want to move on to Law and Order, we can bring Angie Everhart in here and really get down to business.
No, I refuse.
Are you sure? You don't want to know what Sam Waterston would think about this scene?
What about Carrie Lowell? Anywho.
So we go over to Ken and Lisa looking at a
dunk dunk. Dunk dunk.
Ken and Lisa are looking at yet another building to purchase. And this one is for a dog rescue. Darling.
Everything doggy.
We can sell our doggy lingerie and at the same time get dogs from the pound to come here and play for a day before sending them back to possibly be killed.
This isn't just a place to get dogs. It's a lifestyle. I was like, okay. It's a lifestyle I will be tolerant of, but perhaps will not be participating in. So Ken and Lisa start talking about, is it Ulan? Yulin. They're talking about Yulin to the realtor, and Lisa's like, they do terrible things. They take the dogs. They use the meat. It's for this. And they're just going on and on and on. And the realtor's like, So do you want to buy this place or not?
I know the realtor's like, I hate strays. So anything else? Lisa's like,
well, darling, thank you for showing us this place. I know this place doesn't need a dog rescue, but it would be nice in the twilight years to give Ken a home he can comfortably poop on the floor in.
He's like, okay, do whatever you want, lady. It could be a sex club. It could be a dog shelter. I don't give a shit. Will you pay the rent or not?
Well, this would make quite a spectacular young bar. We do have some doilies we can install.
Harrison, my tie, darling.
I liked when she got into her Yulin stories because it went from like we're trying to stop the stuff in China to she's like,
we went. The reason they torture dogs is because adrenaline tenderizes the meat and stimulates the sex organs. I just need a feather boa. I'm trying to teach China all they need is a good boa.
No, but she starts telling the story how she's like,
I did a congressional hearing and told them a story of being in China and chasing down a truck, and we stopped a shipment of dogs that were about to be tortured, and we said, no, no, no. Young man,
I was like, could we get an end to the story? How did this end? Did they let the dogs run out into the street? I just love the idea of Lisa Vanderpump jumping out of a truck and in a ball gown and just like standing in front of a truck like, stop!
You shall not pass.
If anyone's gonna stimulate your sex organs, it's gonna be me, darling.
Big pinkies for everyone. So then Lisa was, she's starting to get sad, getting choked up thinking about the terror that, you know, the terrible things happening to these dogs. And she starts talking about how when she was testifying at Congress that they played a video showing all the dog torture, right, like overhead behind her. And we saw a clip of it a little bit. And she's like, I didn't turn around to look at it. I didn't get to see it. And Ken's like, I saw it. It's etched into my brain. And I felt bad.
I would never look at it.
It was Ken is so sweet. He's sitting there crying over the dogs being tortured. But at the same time, I was like, this is what it's about? I thought, you know, when they showed the preview last week, when he was like, it's at the most etched in my brain forever. I'll knock that man and spark out. I was thinking it was... I thought it was going to be because, like he met Max's mom, or, like, Max's real mom came and then rejected Max, and he felt so bad for Max that, you know, he was crying because his son should never hurt that way. So,
aww.
It was
no,
not
it was
that
dogs.
At all. It was just dogs.
Yeah, it was the dogs. I liked how Lisa's like, oh, God, he's crying. All right.
I know. I'll stiff up a lip.
Wow. All right. You done yet then, Ken? You done? All right. I'll be over here, darling, looking away from you. Yeah.
Ken, you really yes-anded me in this situation.
Just please cry out the window, darling. I don't want to look at that, darling.
Waiter, I think there's some dust in my husband's eyes. I'm your realtor, not your waiter.
It's like an absolutely fabulous when her father dies and she won't cry and her daughter's so mad at her. She's like, why can't you cry? She's like, look, I'm crying. She's like, no, you're not. She's like, look, mommy's leaking, darling. She's like, you're not even crying. You're faking it. And finally, by the end of the episode, she starts crying like after the funeral. And she's like, mom, you're crying. Are you thinking about your dad? And she goes, I'm thinking, I don't want to die, darling. I don't want to die. So when Lisa finally does start crying, she walks literally to an exit sign. She's like, here's the exit, tears. Now leave.
Go find Caroline Stanbury. Yeah. So after that, it was sweet old Ken Todd. Then we go to cosplays, and we're only like 12 minutes into the show, and it's Carney Wilson getting ready, and I'm like, wow, we're already getting ready for this main event, so this is gonna be good.
And I love Carney Wilson. I mean, I know her from Wilson Phillips and stuff, but you know, I didn't really know her like I know her now after House Bombs.
Yeah,
but I just love her. She's so hilarious, and I love that she's come up with this whole personality where she's like, I'm Carney Wilson, and thank God I started a food addiction. That keeps me from being drunk. I'm like, Carney Wilson, you were heavy before you were drinking.
Yeah.
Like, who are we kidding? Like, she's giving herself a whole new life, and I like it. I'm with it.
I'm like, Carney, how could you be, like, the iconic advocate for gastric bypass and then showing up here hawking four different kinds of mini cheesecakes? I'm sorry, Carney Wilson. Something is not adding up in the brand.
Turns out I could only hold one teaspoon of vodka at a time.
like, literally, I don't get
it. Okay, by the way. That's okay. I'm not saying it's bad she's chunky. Yeah. I just think it's hilarious because she's like, well, now that I've stopped being a drunk, I can eat cheesecake. And I'm like, well, before you were drunk and eating cheesecake. Like, let's not pretend like this just happened.
She's basically the inverse of Bethany. If Bethany's brand is skinny girl, Carney is, you know.
She could make $1 billion with that. if she was like chunky girl and it was just real fucking
she
cheesy.
Would and I mean people were like going shit. I mean I if anyone yeah if anyone can make a cheesecake, I believe it would be Carney Wilson. I would 100% eat her cheesecakes, and she seems awesome. I just like
I think we're at a tipping point in this country where everybody's been making themselves so crazy, and then you realize at the end of the day you're like, I'm still skinny, people are still dicks, and you know, I still have to poop. Like, what's the point? What's the point of all this? I still get boogers. And we're at the tipping point where someone's going to be like, yeah, chunky girl. And we're going to be like, fuck, yes. And we're just going to all turn into the people from WALL-E.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why Carney is the inverse of Bethany. Because Bethany is skinny and bony in all angles and hard as rock. And Carney is soft and bigger. And she is just, you know, she's warm and loving.
Yeah, Bethany celebrates when you're trying to not be yourself, and Carney Wilson knows really how to celebrate the good things in life. For example, she's putting stuff in the fridge, and Kyle comes into the kitchen, and she goes, Kyle, we're talking about cheesecake!
And then we learn that Carney has been sober for 12 years. It's like, oh, damn, Carney, you're going to get quite the hug from Eden. Eden Sassoon is going to latch on and not let go. She's going to be like one of those aliens in that new Alien Covenant trailer. That's the sound of Eden suctioning her arms on alien style onto Carney's face and impregnating her with her crystals so they burst out later at the...
I think Eden would probably be like, have you ever heard of a juice cleanse? Because Eden will try and fix anybody's damn addiction. She doesn't care what it is.
Eden will just be like, I'm sorry, Carney. I just, when I see you with your sort of sisters in that singing group, it just reminds me of me and my sisters and how we used to sing when we were little. And I see so much of me and Wilson Phillips. I just want to fix your group. And she's like, okay, no cheesecake for you.
Well, my addiction almost killed one of my cousins, too. I got drunk and sat on China one time because she wouldn't hand over the lead mic.
What was the third? What's the name of the third girl in Wilson Phillips?
You know what? I defy anybody to know.
It's China Phillips. Actually.
China,
Carney Wilson.
And the other one, no one cares. And she was very pretty and sang a very lovely, like, middle harmony, right? Didn't she sing the middle?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, she was, no one ever knew her name. Phillips. Wendy. I'm going to say her name is Wendy.
Well, she was a redhead, I think. I think she did look like a Wendy.
Wendy. I'm going to say, okay, we're going to look it up right now. Wilson Phillips. Am I banging the table a lot today, by the way? Everyone, I have a problem tapping the table when I get excited and you hear thumps, and I apologize.
I have not noticed it as much today, but I have to say, and this is not an ad, so don't worry, you don't have to fast forward, everybody, but when we did Kate's show last week, Kate Casey's show, she has these amazing mics. Well, because she has a studio, like she's not in her underwear in her house, you know, but she has a really nice studio, and she has these like mic cranes that go on the desk, and you just kind of swing them at you so you can put your hands in front of you. You're not hitting the mic and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I got one on Amazon for $20 damn, and I put it in today, and it is amazing. It is amazing.
Ronnie has been voguing. You guys don't know it. He's been voguing. His arms have been flapping around, and you don't hear a single thing.
You know what I've been doing a lot that gets me in trouble is swiping on my trackpad. I've been like, swipe, swipe. Nothing to hit. There's nothing to hit.
Can I tell you something that's crazy? The third Please. Wilson Phillips girl.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Wendy.
Oh my God, Ben.
We must have just known that on some level. Right? We had to have.
Well, you Wendy did. Wilson. Yeah, Wendy you Wilson. Got it. Wendy Wilson. Oh my God, I love her hamburgers.
And I love her tennis balls.
So back at the party, Kyle's dog is in the pool, and Carney just goes. Carney goes, "Oh, your dog is in the swimming pool." Kyle's like, "Yeah." So anyway, I've been wanting you to meet my sister Kim because she is a drunk too, and she's like, "Is she sober now?" She's like, "Yeah." Are you so? How long have you been sober? She's like, 12 years. God, I love when people meet me and they only want to talk about how sober I am. I've made 4 cheesecakes. Sober cheesecakes, Kyle. That's the worst. Why is she allowed to go up to everybody and be like, how long have you been sober? What it's like? So are you sober and then you're not sober? Are you just sometimes sober? Are you sober in the morning but not in the evening? What kind of sober are you? What brand? It's like, why is she allowed to do all that?
Exactly. I think the reason why is because Carney Wilson seems largely, you know, got her shit together. Whereas Kim, one never really knows. So until we have like a nice streak of sobriety from Kim, we just sort of have to use kid gloves.
I think streak's the wrong word, because that's actually possible. Kim could just come in like, it's me, I'm not wearing any underwear, and like running across the backyard.
She's protesting the Oscars from 1974. I think
we should be nicer to the Indian people. She's giving a Leo DiCaprio speech.
And the winner is Bear chased me through this
for 5 days. Help the indigenous. It's the indigenous people.
So I think what's funny about Carney Wilson is that she's like a little on, you know? She's very much, it's not that she's like playing it up for the cameras. I get the sense that she's always like just like a drama kid, you know, because she will talk very sincerely, but then she makes a joke that is almost very sitcom-y sounding, almost like a wink to the audience.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I really needed to express my observation. I love her.
Well, she's
that.
Me. She, you know, she's me with more tattoos and more money.
Like if she could, if she could be juggling, she would be. If she could have a slide whistle. And I almost am like, I feel like she deserves a slide whistle. She's bringing cheesecake to these bitches. Give her a slide whistle. She deserves it.
She's like, well, I'll tell you this, Kyle. For 12 years, I've led by example. Now listen, I'm a foul-mouthed, crazy motherfucker, but I'm sober. God, I'm sober, Kyle. Oh, it hurts. On Valentine's Day, I wrote a letter to Franzia and I said, I miss you, girl. And then I had a cheesecake. I was like, great.
She's so like, release right me. Now. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on for one more day. That's what I tell myself.
You know what, Kyle? You're in love. And I know.
And Kyle's like, okay, great talking about sobriety. Celebrity Apprentice, Celebrity Apprentice. Oh, my God. Remember Boy George? Okay, I'm going inside now. And Carney's like, all right, well, I'll just be here in the backyard, which is a park.
Yeah, yeah. I loved when she said that.
Please make her a regular immediately. I need her in my life every week.
Seriously. So Rinna and Erica Jane are heading to the party in a limo. And Rinna has brought a gift for Kim's grandbaby, which is funny. It's like some big bunny. I'm like, this is
poor Lisa Rinna. You know, a big, you know, the saying, chasing the white rabbit. It's like a drug addict saying.
Chasing
like,
rabbits.
She's going to love this. She's going to love this rabbit. She can chase it. You know, maybe she can throw it and then chase it.
Go down a hole. And then Grace Slick will sing a song about you, baby.
One day Johnny Depp is going to play someone who's trying to cut off your head, baby. I've never watched a movie. I have no idea what
Me
Johnny
neither.
Depp
I read the book like. Years ago when I was a kid.
I don't know why I'm assuming Johnny Depp is the Queen of Hearts. That's my sick head.
I think Johnny Depp is the Mad Hatter. Which makes sense because this cheesecake party kind of felt like the Mad Hatter was in control.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, speaking of Mad Hatters, Kim shows up. And she's brought her sponsor, Claire, who I wonder if she found in a boutique. Dun-dun-dun. Tap. So Claire is her sponsor, which, by the way, I was happy. I was happy to see that Kim has a sponsor, because I think last time, like 4 years ago, she brought over a life coach, and I was like, no.
Yeah, last time it was like a task rabbit.
Yeah. A white task rabbit. Get it? So basically, I mean, Kyle essentially says, yeah, this is a message for the other ladies that, you know, don't mess with Kim. She's on the right track. Which I actually thought, I actually supported that message because that's something that I was happy to see. You know, we spend so much time speculating about Kim. I'm like, well, good. She does have a sponsor. That shows something, right? Something, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. But the sponsor didn't seem to know anything about Kim.
Yeah.
By the end of it, I was like, wait a minute. Are you sponsoring this? Like, do you mean like a NASCAR sponsor? Yeah. Like, she's wearing like a 7-Up hat.
I was concerned that Kim thought it was a sponsored dinner. Like, so is this from Stouffer's? So,
she's paying me for she's paying me $1 for every mile I walk.
We're doing the walk of dimes. I'm going to find a dime every mile.
But yeah, so, I just keep calling her Blanket because Kyle's like, Kim brought her for support and is a security blanket, which I just think is cute. So Kyle is like, we're going to send a message that Kim's on the right track. And I was like, that's good. But, you know, just go to her for other things than to fight with Lisa Rinna, you know. Yeah. Like, also go to her tomorrow.
Yeah. That's a good, yeah.
So, just keep going. You know, keep it consistent, Kim.
So Rinna is telling Erica and in the car, she's like, I think I said everything. And Erica just goes, oh.
I love how she announced it, too. She's like, Erica, I have to tell you because you are the one who came into my room in Mexico and said, own it, baby. And I was like, what a brilliant thing to say. What a wonderful saying. And you helped me realize I think I said everything. And Erica's like, oh, girl.
Erica's like, she's going to get fucked up.
She's like,
you are dead. You are dead as a doornail, Lisa Rinna. He's like, oh, shit. Fuck you.
They started laughing. I really like their little friendship.
Yeah, I do too,
so then
actually.
Back at the party, Kyle's like, Kim, I wanted you to meet Carney Wilson because Carney Wilson was a drunk. Carney Wilson, this is Kim. Kim, Carney's been sober for 12 years. And Kim gives her this look. She's like, uh-huh. Like anything else, is this all I get about this woman?
And Kim is looking around. Yeah. Kim is looking around for a Ferris wheel. She's like, "Well, you got a carny here."
Now, are you the kind that bites the head off chickens, or the kind that brings Ferris wheels to parties? What kind of carny are you, carny?
I used to love riding horses, and then I found out that I was just on a merry-go-round. Wow, it was crazy days at the carnival, right? Am I right, everyone?
So the cotton candy come out of your mouth. Deal with the truth, Carney Wilson.
So Carney, she's like, she's been sober for 12 years, and that's when she started baking. And Carney goes, yeah, I gained weight, but it's better than being dead. And then Kim just looks at her like, now it's not. Like, I've seen no proof of that. Alright. All right, big lady with a beard, do your show.
All right, I'll get on the Trabant.
You guys got a scrambler here. It's my favorite ride.
But I'm always confused why you never get eggs afterwards.
Oh, God. So let's see here. So, Rinna, I think I said everything. Eileen
shows up. Eileen's like, oh, I love caviar.
Eileen has a caviar moment. It's like, good for Eileen. She's in this episode.
Yeah, she's like, you know what I love about caviar? It doesn't make me want to just shit everywhere. Just a big old bowel movement.
I just love caviar. You know those little thingies? You put the caviar in the little thingies, and then there's sour cream, and then you're like, thingies. So.
Blinis. Am I right, everyone? Blinis.
So you could just see the camera guy like,
You know what I love is a little spoon. It's less expensive than a big spoon. Vinny's got a gambling problem.
So
buckwheat, am I right? Buckwheat flour, buckwheat blini, right?
So she's talking to Kyle and she's like, so Kyle, you know, did you invite Eden? And she's like, yes, she was at that angel food fucking thing. So, and I was in the moment, so I was like, okay, everybody come over. And okay, you too, Eden. And she's like, you know what? What do you think about Rinna? Because I think it's true that she said all this stuff. Because, like, let's face it, she said it 1,000 times to me. Like, I've heard her say it 1,000,000 times before. And then Eileen's like, well, she's never said anything like that to me. And Kyle's like, oh, well, did you think Kim didn't seem sober at that party? I'm like, the party she had to have help to come down the stairs. No, Kyle, she seemed totally fine.
Yeah.
Great.
So then Dorit comes in with the world's most boring story. It literally went nowhere. She's like, oh, the most amazing thing just happened. My daughter just went scrambling across the room and touched my shoes. Like, and then? And that is all.
I've been teaching her to crawl by putting shoes across the room, and she's been crawling toward, kind of like Kim's doing out there with that rabbit Lisa Rinna keeps throwing around. I'm not falling for this one again, Lisa Rinna. Fetch, baby!
So, Lisa Vanderpump and Eden show up next, and I was hoping that there'd be, like, another fight, because Eden went up to Kyle and was like, thank you for having me, and Kyle kind of didn't respond. Kyle looked the other way and got distracted. I thought for sure Eden was going to spiral out of control on that one.
Nothing. Thank you for the welcome gift of nothing you just gave me. Because Kyle did. She was like, hello, and they hugged, but Kyle, like, got out of it so it couldn't be a hard hug. And then she's like, okay, then. And then she just walked away.
I got nothing, and I've given you everything, Kyle Richards.
So thank you for that gift of diminishing returns you bestowed upon me.
So as Kim does whenever she's ready to yell at somebody at a party, Kim is outside at the outside table. Table or whatever. She's always doing that when she knows she's going to fight with somebody at a party.
Yeah.
So she's out there waiting.
Yeah.
So Vanderpump comes out there and she's like, hello, darling. Mwah, mwah. I've got a gift. It's for your grandchild. And Kim goes, Kim puts on that weird English accent again. And she goes, I didn't know if it existed.
What? It's like Dorit with laryngitis.
Makes even less sense. I didn't know if it existed. What the fuck are you talking about?
And then at that point, Kim went and led Lisa Vanderpump through the labyrinth until they reached the Goblin King.
Wait, it's the left. No, it's the right. Oh, God damn it. Where's that bunny?
God damn it. Is that little creature turning around the lipstick arrows again?
Lisa keeps throwing the bunny over the bushes.
Hey, look, that monster took his head off and is playing it like a basketball.
So this has to be my favorite moment of the episode. Eden comes out to Carney, and Carney's like, oh, I am Carney Wilson. I love cheesecake. And Eden goes, we've met before, actually. She goes, we did? When did we meet before? She goes, when we were buying baby stuff. What?
Carney's.
What? Neither one of you have babies, do you? And also, I look.
maybe Eden's thinking of Wendy. I don't know.
I just love the thought of Carney Wilson in some baby store randomly, and then Eden in some baby store randomly, and saying hi to Carney and still getting dissed. Like, Eden cannot fucking win, okay?
She cannot. And not only can she not fucking win, like, moments later, Kim, Carney, and Eden are all sitting at this table together. And, you know, Kim hates Eden now, and she can't even look at her. And Eden's just sitting there, and Carney's not looking at her either. And Eden is spiraling out of control on the inside. So she tries to make a gesture. She's like, would any of you ladies enjoy some tuna tartare? They're like, no thanks, we've already had some. Eden's like, you know, that was like a horrible moment for Eden right there.
I
offered her raw tuna, and she gave me nothing.
Kim's like, yeah, that girl makes my skin crawl. Eating Assoon is basically Coke cut with too much baby formula. Makes me want to poop out my ears.
And then so Kim starts talking to whoever's next to her. Eden's right across from her, and she goes,
yeah, listen, lady I'm talking to. The space I'm in right now, I pretty much removed all the negative people out of my life. You like that one over there.
I'm like, Kim, she didn't do anything to you, okay? Like, she talked behind your back, and I'm no huge fan of Eden, but come on.
Yeah, she's like,
crawl off the cross.
Listen here, double Wendy. I don't need any sort of bitches handing me tuna tartare. Any bitches at all.
Carney's like, well, we're going to have to encounter a lot of idiots on the road to Weldom. She's like, yeah, well, I sure have.
By the way, I think we should give a round of applause to these poor waiters who spent the entire episode circling these women, trying to get them to eat one of these hors d'oeuvres. And no, they would just get passed from, the waiters themselves were the pass hors d'oeuvres, because they would come up to a group of people and be like, would you care for a crab cake? Oh, I'm good, thanks. I already had one, but I think them over there, I think they need one. And the waiter would be like, would you like a crab cake? Oh, actually, we're good. We actually just had one, but maybe over there?
Waiter just going like, well, does it come in a little thingy? Then no, thank you. if you have an appetizer that comes in a thingy with a thingy, then I'll take it. But
until then, no thanks. I've had my Pepto-Bismol, and the last thing I want to do is have diarrhea in the pool while the dog's still in it.
Have you noticed that every couch in here is white? Never noticed until today. So Carney's feeling all awkward because Kim's like starting a fight, and Eden's just like sitting there quietly pretending to eat a potato. So inside, Kyle's eating. Who cares? So Rena finally gets there. And Vanderpump immediately starts fucking with her. She's like, I need to drink more now than ever. And Rena's like, really? But to her face, she's like, oh, that wasn't very nice. And Vanderpump's like, oh, you brought a gift trying to be nice, are you? I brought one too. Gave it to her first. Good luck.
I guess mine's just a little more special because it's more recent. Yes, then Lisa's like, oh, you're going to give that to Kim? Well, that'll be a total disaster. Okay, go do it now. Go do it now. I want to watch. Go, 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 go.
She's been out there waiting for you next to the lady eating potatoes.
I like that she told her, well, darling, get a drink first. It's like so insensitive.
Hi, Kim. I would like to talk to you about your sobriety while I'm drinking a martini with extra olives.
Here's a big, strange bunny I got from the neighbor, from the little bodega down the street.
So Kim, Rena goes out there and does that thing where she's talking to Kim like she's part of her special ed class. She's like, hi, Kim. Hi, Kim Richards. Hi,
how are you? How are you, Kim Richards? Hi, Kim Richards.
She's like, hi, Lisa. I brought you a rabbit, baby.
And she's like, thanks. Thanks for the rabbit.
And Kim is so mad. She's like, she thinks that Rena is so fake, which I guess I can see that. That does come off as very, very fake. But I also believe that Rena was trying to be nice. You know, sometimes you can't fault someone for trying to be nice, right?
Yeah, I mean, she's making an effort, you know, I get it. But Kim, this is a good time that we have to go over some Kim tweets.
Yes, okay, good. I like
it. Now, for those of you who don't follow Kim on Twitter, she is just a treasure, okay? No matter what happens on the show, she gets so angry all over again, and she goes off. Now, her use of emojis are a little bit less this week, but she's just going off on Lisa Rinna. She's like, and by the way, this was like for hours and hours that she was tweeting. She tweeted for like 4 hours last night. It's like, bravo, WWHL and Andy. Lisa comes to light. Here she goes. Here so goes again. .. She own it? How many times she gonna own it? But she continues to bash me. Really? Lisa never would have apologized to me if she knew wasn't caught in another lie. # cries. And denies # caught,
but she put an and symbol so it cut off her # classic Kim. Well,
it's mostly just that.
Here we go, Lisa Rinna. I think I said everything. You know exactly what you said, and this is right after an apology, just the night before.
But what's funny is that Rinna posts up a photo of them clasping hands and sitting next to each other and looked all super apologetic. And Rinna was like, it's time for a place of healing, baby. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's nice that Rinna and Kim actually look like they're ready to start going. And then these tweets come up and I'm like, something has gone awry.
Well, she'll just never. Because we asked Lisa, you know, how is it now? She's like, oh, it ended up fine. Like, after all that happened, we, you know, we laughed and we had a good time. I was shocked that we had a good time. But I guess Kim Richards is just getting all mad again. And so she sends one to, she sends one to Sass Eden.
Sass Eden knows better. It's terrible. If she had concerns, she could have called.
Oh no, Lisa Rinna, you meant well! Triple exclamation point, and then those crying emojis.
At Eileen Davidson, she means it. Get real, Eileen.
Oh, come on! You know, you—that was a perfect chance to say, "Come on, Eileen." Perfect chance, Kim.
My favorite is,
well, I'm strong now.
Strong muscle emoji. The guy making a muscle emoji.
No more, Lisa. She cannot do to me what she's done for the past years. I've got a voice now.
Strong emoji. Strong emoji. I like Kim. Kim just basically took vocal lessons.
I just, again, this is like the ongoing issue with Kim is that she really lashes out very viciously at what she, you know, I understand why she's frustrated with Rinna, for sure. She just wants Rinna to stop talking about her. But she lashes out very viciously, and she always has. And there's never seems to be a sense of introspection, right? That like, you know, I acted a certain way and Rinna reacted to my actions, and I'm going to, you know, I accept my role in this. It's always just this,
yeah.
You know, Rinna's out to destroy me. Rinna's out to take me down. Everyone's out to take me down. Everyone's so mean to me.
And also, she doesn't really realize like who's being mean. I mean, if you're going to be mad at Eden for spreading it, why aren't you mad at Dorit for spreading it?
Exactly. Dorit
did it too. And this is a tweet. She's like, then she picks on Dorit. She goes from me, Brandy, Yolanda, back to me. Now Dorit, Lisa Rinna, shame on you. She only apologized because she was getting too heat. Fire emoji. From all the girls. Oh, except for Eileen Davidson, LOL. There was a lot that edited from these episodes, but this one, I actually got up and left, and there was a lot more said.
Oh my God. I'm sure they were trying to help you, Kim. Yeah.
Take their lead and shut up.
Seriously.
So back to the show. So Eileen is telling Kim is, who is Kim talking? Oh, Camille arrives.
Hi.
And Kyle goes, Kyle sees potatoes before she sees the Eden sitting there because, you know, that's how our eyes work. And she goes straight for the potatoes and she's like, oh shit, it's Eden. And Eden's like, Kyle, you're eating potatoes? And she's like, yeah. And she goes, I love that you love potatoes.
I miss that 100%.
Kyle gives Kim looks like, are we going to kill this bitch or what?
I totally miss that. That is amazing.
There were a lot of little baby lines in this episode that were so funny.
Yeah, so funny.
Hi.
So Kim is now, she's angrier at Eden than ever before. She's just roiling over there. And now Kim has this whole thing of people in recovery build each other up. They don't beat each other down. And I'm like, A, you've been in recovery for 1 second. And B, Eden never was trying to tear you down. And on game night, if anything, Eden was the one who kind of actually was brokered that peace for a moment. Remember, there was like a little bit of an apology between Rinna and Kim, and that was because of Eden saying, sober people, you know, we're honest people, we're sympathizers, and we need to sympathize, whatever she said. So the fact that Kim is misconstruing Eden's perhaps overstepping her bounds, but still, I think, in what was trying to be a helpful stance as trying to take her down, shows, I think, some of Kim's problems that she has to deal with, which is this hypersensitivity to a situation.
Yeah. Or it's hyper-insensitivity. She's just fucking rude, you know?
Yeah.
So inside, Eileen is telling Rinna, she's like, well, I think we should have a talk with Eden. And she's like, no, wait, you first. So she pulls Eileen into the white couch living room. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay.
This is the white couch of confessions, because I seem to remember there was an important scene with the Maloofs on this couch once also.
And don't forget, Adrian also left a brown stain on this. Now, hers was from spray tan.
Yeah. I think this is the Maloofs and Brandy when they were trying to have a reckoning about the rumor.
Yeah. And Kyle has still not learned to get pleather. So she pulls her in there, and Rinna's like,
well, I met with Eden on Friday, and I'm racking my brain, like, how could I possibly said these things? And you know that night in the Hamptons when the question was, what keeps you up at night? And Kyle said, getting a call that my sister is dead. And that's what I meant. I mean, of course, it was a year ago and it was a totally different time. But I talked to Harry today and we've had so many people die. And Eileen's like, you're on high alert. Your terrorism level orange, basically. She's like, yes, terrorism.
By the way, those are both the names of movies that Eileen starred in the Burbank Film Festival. High Alert and Terror Level Orange.
Three.
She's like, you're basically on high alert, terror level orange 3.
I did great work in that movie. I played the president of post-America as a future-setting thing, and we were being invaded by sharks on motorcycles that could breathe air.
Exactly. Just how I was feeling when Kyle said she thought her sister was going to die in the Hamptons.
I'm like, oh my God. How many things are we not going to let go from that fucking day in the Hamptons?
I know, one day in the Hamptons.
Oh my God. That was at the beginning of last season. So, she just comes clean. She's like,
Basically what I'm trying to say, Miss Eileen, president of post-America. I said it all. There, I confess, baby. I'm guilty of caring too much for Kim Richards, baby.
I just wanted to be the best mother I knew how to be. Is that so wrong, baby? You're doing so
good. Give me a little credit, will you?
So Eileen is like, yikes. But then Eileen's trying to make her feel better and saying these things. And somehow Eileen apologizes. I don't know why. But Eileen's like, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm like, why are you apologizing, Eileen?
Because she knows it's about to suck for Rinna. Because first Eileen goes, well, that changes a lot. She says,
I know. I know. What's going to happen to me? They're going to stone me.
And she's like, well, I'm sorry, darling. I'm surprised and disappointed, but she put herself in this situation. But on the positive side, Lisa Rinna's still a good person, and she still owns it. It took her a while to pay it off, but she put a down payment in the store, and by golly, she did YouTube videos until she had enough money to own it.
It was, it was like a lease-to-own situation, and she finally got to the end of that part of the equation.
Have you ever tried to buy a couch from Jennifer Leather? It starts out at $500, but the time you pay it off with all the interest rates, you're paying $9,000 for a couch. And Lisa Rinna did it.
Listen, just because the memories were in layaway doesn't mean she doesn't still own them.
There's a whole new pullout available, and she still owned it.
She got some coupons, and she owns it. Lower price, but she owns it. So, Carney, baking makes her happy. She's telling everyone this in the backyard, so that's exciting. And then Kyle...
But this is so good, because Carney's acting like she's the head of a Weight Watchers meeting. She's like, ladies, I make these little baby cheesecakes because I love cheesecake. And I'm always telling my girlfriends, you don't gotta be neurotic about it. Just have one little bite. Or 10 little cheesecakes, which adds up to one little bite, really. I mean, math. Math is hard, but at least I'm not drunk. It's like, Carney, you're talking to a bunch of skinny-ass bitches. They do not need weight advice from you. Just give them the cheesecake.
And also remember how mad they are that they're being forced to eat multiple cheesecakes on camera. Just remember that, Carney.
Mixed with tuna tartare. I feel like this whole episode is just basically trying to get Eileen to shit.
I also didn't understand this party setup. There was a full table with play settings set up for dinner, and yet everyone was eating cheesecakes in a little seating area next to it, and then some people were sitting inside. There was no flow. I didn't get it.
Well, it's a Kyle party.
Yeah.
The damn wet dog's probably sitting on someone's lap somewhere, tacky.
So Kyle and So Eileen and Ren are sitting on that couch, and then Kyle comes over and is like, what are you guys doing in here? Why don't you join the party? What's going on? And I love that Eileen is just like, bye, and she just bolts out of there. She's like, I'm gonna let you talk to Kyle.
I'm not doing this with you.
And by not doing this, I mean shitting on your couch. Where's the bathroom?
And Rinna does to Kyle. I like how she talks to Kyle. She's like,
Oh, Kyle, come on. It's time to have a good little talk. We're trying to figure some stuff out.
And Carney comes in. She's like, guys, we're eating cheesecakes out there. We're literally sampling cheesecakes right now.
And then cut. And so then Rinna's like, she's like, huh. Okay, it was literally like one of those movies where someone says, I have something I really need to tell you, and then someone interrupts, and you're like, that doesn't happen in real life. But Carney made it happen.
Yeah, Carney made it happen. I thought it was like one of those things in a movie where someone's like really terrified to sing, but they've been entered into a talent show, and it's time, and they're like, you're on! And
yeah.
It's just that moment where they're like, oh, shit, they're going to throw tomatoes at my face.
Yeah.
You know?
It was like this the climax. All right,
let's do this.
It was like the climax of a bad boy.
About I feel like Rinna. Dead Men Walking.
Where's Susan Sarandon? So they all go outside, and, you know, Rinna is just, you can see she's like, oh, God, it's coming up soon. It's coming up soon. And meanwhile, like, everyone
me,
is.
Me.
Yeah.
La, 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 la.
And everyone's just sitting there eating the cheesecake, and Eden's trying to crack jokes. She's like, who needs men when you have your dessert? And Lisa Vanderpump's like, does that cheesecake buy me jewelry?
And Dorit tries to ride the wave of that. She's like,
yes,
that's true. Does a cheesecake buy me jewelry? I don't think so, girls.
That was not really a yes and. That was a yes.
Yes, that was me who said that.
It was a yes, I agree.
She's like, my mother used to tell me she's bought me McDonald's, but it was just a hamburger between two pieces of white bread. And I'd tell the other kids, I got McDonald's. I got McDonald's.
Stop stealing from Eddie Murphy for 1 second.
Why do they call it? What's the deal with cheesecake anyway? It doesn't taste like cheese. Doesn't taste like cheddar. It's not as spicy a pie. What's the deal with it? Oh, well, my Dorit impersonation suddenly my Dorit impersonation suddenly turned into your Dorit impersonation.
Mrs. Padmore is a ghost that will never leave. Once you let her in your body, she will never leave.
Daisy!
Daisy!
Daisy, you're making the cheesecake now!
So everyone is sitting around in a big circle. And Rinna sits down. She's like, And Kim is just looking at her like, her head's twitching up and down. It's like bobbing like a buoy in the ocean, you know? Yeah. It's your Kim, like.
I like that, the bobbing in the ocean noise.
Just getting so more and more pissed, just looking. And so everyone's like, oh, cheesecake. How lovely. I love cheesecake. Do you like raspberry? I love raspberry. And Rinna's like, wait, I have something to say. Ding, 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 ding. It's like, oh, by the way, no.
At this point, I was fully covered up with all the pillows on my couch. I was like, this is going to be so awful. I was like just looking through a small crack of light in between three of the cushions. It's like, this is going to be awful.
Now, I have something to say to you. Kim Richards, do you mind if I say something to you? And she goes, I really appreciate that, Lazarenas.
Lazarenas. Yeah, some contacts for me.
So Kim is looking like she's, I'm sorry, I'm smoking out the screen door. Smoking out the screen door.
So basically, Rinna says, I said it.
I smoke out the screen door. We're at Rinna time, screen door.
Yeah, okay, now's not the time, door. So
I had to get ready.
So basically Rinna's like, I said it, Kim. I said it. And Kyle, wow. Kyle was shocked. Kyle's head jutted forward and down, and her jaw was out. I mean, that was a great, great look from Kyle.
Yeah, she's like, Lisa Rinna flat out lied to me in Mexico, with her eyes all crossing and her temple. You know, I love me some Kyle Botox temple veins, because those things look like they're going to just start popping out chocolate syrup all over the place.
Yeah.
But she's like throbbing. But Rinna, I love how she said it, because she goes,
on game night, in the heat of the moment, after game night, I said some things. And I didn't remember. But now I've had time to talk to my husband, my community, my social worker, and my children.
I've discussed this with the ACLU, GLAAD, and Black Lives Matter. And we all agree that I said it. So Kim is grilling Rinna. Kim, I mean, this is Kim's moment, and Rinna takes it on the chin, and Kim is basically like, you say these things, and you don't realize how it hurts me, and my family, and my grandson, soon, when he's born, he'll be crying when he comes out, and he's gonna be crying because of you.
It affects other people, Liza.
And,
but by the way, like, the irony, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the irony of Kim telling Rinna, you know, you just say these things and then you apologize and say, well, I said it, I own it, and I'm sorry. The irony of Kim attacking Rinna for that when she has fully befriended Brandi Glanville is rich.
Yes. Unlike Kim.
I'm not saying that it excuses Rinna, but I'm just saying, Kim, what about your friend Brandi? She does the same thing.
Yeah, well, the good things about Housewives shows to me is that they're all wrong all the time. Like, it's very rare that one of them's right, you know? So it's like two wrongs not making a right, and it's so delicious to watch. And Rinna's like, well, I see now that you're in a good place, and it was just after game night, and I had rage flowing through me. I just didn't remember anything. I didn't even remember going to a store. What games did we play? Scrabble? Was I good? How much did I make? Did I get any triple word scores?
I came home, and I had just so much wheat in my hands. What was happening? Did I go to the island of Catan? Why did I have so many wheat? And where did all my sheep go? I can't remember a single thing. It was the heat of game night.
If I lost the wool factory, how do I have so many dusters? Somebody give me a clue!
Harry Hamlin said I now own a city in the mountains. Can you believe it? I'm the mayor of a city now. After just game night. So
she continues,
we're two people, me and Eden are two people who have lost sisters to this awful disease, and I thought it would be safe to talk to her.
And then Vanderpump, who has never known when to quit when she's ahead, ever.
Yes.
In the history of the show, is like, well, of course you are safe, darling, because you were talking to someone else about it.
I would feel safe maligning someone. She's like, it wasn't maligning, Miss Vanderpump.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lisa, here's the thing. Lisa knew she was going to get it, and she knew she was going to give Vanderpump an opportunity to take out her knives and cut away and enjoy it. So, you know, Rinna just sort of had to take it. But well, the best part about this was then it cut away to Lisa Vanderpump doing an impersonation of Rinna, and it was really good. And it was weird, too. It was weird hearing Lisa Vanderpump doing sort of a Texas accent.
Yeah, and she does that squeak.
Oh, I forgot! I remember now. It slipped my mind, but I remember now.
So Ren is like, but on the other hand, you were provoking me, Kim Richards. And Dorit goes, what did she do to provoke you? And Rinna laughs. And she goes, don't you remember?
And she goes, do you remember it? Do you even remember it?
Oh, yeah. And then Kim's like, well, that's not nice either, saying I don't remember provoking stuff.
Well, she was saying Dorit. She was making fun of Dorit. Dorit's memory issues, which is funny because Rinna just had some memory issues.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's
true.
What it was. Yeah, yeah. So Rinna was saying to Dorit, oh, do you even remember game night? You remember it? And then Dorit's like, what? And then Rinna just laughs in her face. And then that's why Dorit is like, that was a little bit of a dig. It's a little bit of a dig. Almost as if she were Erica Jane digging herself with her big muff sticking out with a shovel, too. Get it? Like, no, Dorit, I don't actually.
Lisa Rinna's quite a dig dog, but at least she's wearing panties. I'll give her that.
Now, why do you keep saying I'm bringing it up? I never bring it up. I don't even know what panties are.
So Kim's going on.
Oh, this hurt my maid. My maid cried for a week and my babies are affected.
And then Rinna's like, I really wanted to move on with you, Kim Richards. And Vanderpump goes, move on. You contested her sobriety. She contested it.
Yes. Camille's like, I was there in court that day. Contested over
guilty.
Sustained objection.
You're
sustained. yeah. Also, Kim was like, just so you know, here's my sponsor, Claire. And Rinna's like, hi, Claire. Claire's like, hi, nice to meet you. Hi. Anyway, back to you.
Yeah.
Rinna's like, Claire, would you like a discount on a decent jacket?
Do you know Spencer? He's got a boutique, too.
Have you watched Project Runway? I know Isaac. Would you like to have lunch with him one day? Move over here, Claire. Come over here, Claire.
So Rinna is trying to own her shit at this moment, but she's really failing, especially when she then says that on game night, the way Kim was acting, a sober person doesn't act like that, Kim. I was like, Rinna, what? Rinna, stop, Rinna. Even if you think that, you can't.
Yeah, just be quiet. It's the apology time. Just be quiet. Now the fight turns into, what a sober woman acts like. And then the fight turns into a sober woman is polite and a drunk woman has bad manners.
and then, you know, I hate to always go back to Soap Dish, but this is when Kim basically turns into Sally Field and goes, and you to Eden, I should mention. She basically pivots to Eden and is like, and another thing.
She's like, hey, you even sober, Rena? Do you even know how a sober person acts? And Rena's like, no. She goes, and you, Eden. Look, you go around repeating it. Let me tell you this, Eden. Me and Kyle aren't you and your dead sister, Katia. And she's like, well, whoa. And then Rena's like, that was uncalled for. What'd she say to her? She's like, how dare you.
Well, basically, some stuff happened before then. So first, you know, Kim turns to Eden and is like, and you. And then they, you know, they start to fight, you know, like, why did you go and tell? She's like, you went and told everyone under the sun about me and I was a drunk and this and this. And you didn't feel anything when you walked me down the stairs. Da, 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 da. And then Lisa Vanderpump is like, well, darling, to be fair, I mean, all this stuff was already out there. And that's when Kyle gets mad. And Kyle's like, that's not true, Lisa. Pick a lane. Pick a lane. Pick a lane. I was like, is she saying pickle? Pickling? Is she asking her to pickle something? Pickling? So then Lisa Rinna decides to appeal to the crowd. And she's like, isn't it all about love in the end? Isn't it all about love? And Kyle's like, no. It's not.
She's like, we've never had a chance to heal Kim Richards. And Kim's like, how can we heal when you keep torturing my maid with rumors like this? She's like, even your sponsor is here. Claire, what do you think? And Claire's like, well, you do need to let go of your resentment to move on, Kim. And Kim gives her this look like, well, there goes your tip.
Yeah. Some sponsor. So then Kyle starts accusing Eden of being judgmental. She's like, you weren't bringing love. You were judging. And Eden's like, I was just asking. And poor Eden. She's like, all I wanted to do was walk her down the stairs and get something out of it. Some emotion, a hug. Just give me a hug after once you get to the bottom of the stairs, bitch. Is that so much to ask for?
Yeah. And Eden's just like, all you women were always talking about this and blah, blah, blah. And Kim's like, you don't know. And she's like, I'm trying to talk to your sister. Can I just talk to your sister? As a recovering alcoholic, it wouldn't be right to turn my back on someone in pain. And Kim's like, yeah, well, we're not Katya.
Yeah.
She's like, and she goes, have some compassion. And Rinna goes, have some compassion for her. She lost her sister. And Kyle goes, that's not cool, Rinna. Don't say that she has no compassion. Eden's the one who brought it up and said, we're like her and her sister. And then Rinna goes, yeah, but it was her sister. And don't you see how she has a sister who struggled and died? And she's kind of seeing this in you guys. And Kim goes, no.
Kim was cold in this moment. Because when Kim said, don't be confused here that this is the Katya and Eden story. Like, we're the Richard sisters. Back off. I was like, shut the fuck up, Kim. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, Kim's awful.
I mean, they're all kind of wrong here. Because Eden was wrong to really graft her experience onto Kim and Kyle. But at the same time, I understand why it triggered something in her. And Kyle and Kim was wrong, and Kyle was wrong to just dismiss Eden. Not dismiss Eden, but to just be so nasty about it right then and there. So, you know, Eden definitely overstepped her bounds, but everyone was kind of right. Like, can you guys show a little bit of compassion?
Yeah, they're just fucking assholes. They're so mean, those Richard sisters. And they always are when they get together like that.
Well, thank God we have Carney Wilson.
Yeah,
Carney Wilson, for the first time ever, Carney Wilson, voice of reason.
Yeah, she's like, when I make a steak, girls, I own it. And then I eat a cheesecake. That's just what you got to do. Like, I got reasons to be resentful, but if I hold on to them, I'm drunk. It's like dominoes. You eat one slice, you're calling them every day. They're on their way right now, Kyle. Do you have a gate code for them to get in here? And then Rinna's like, yeah. And the first domino was what you said about my husband. And Kim's like, all I said was, let's talk about your husband. What's so wrong with that? And then Kyle did kind of jump on Kim for this one. She's like, well, Kim, you never said what you were implying, but you did make people wonder, and that's why she's mad. And then Eileen's like, well, why can't Kim admit it? Kim's too smart not to know what she did.
Exactly. And then Kim says, I've apologized so many times. I'm like, well, if you apologized so many times, why did you just say 2 seconds ago that you didn't say anything in the first place? See, that's the thing. It's like, you have to, like, you not to quote Rinna, but you do have to own it. That's one of the steps. You're supposed to own this shit, the stuff that you did, you know? Because Rinna, it did hurt Rinna in that situation. I mean, admittedly, Rinna was doing stuff that was hurting Kim in that moment, but Rinna was trying to actually be helpful. But that doesn't mean that then she doesn't deserve an apology going backwards. So
all of this really is just everybody is so nosy about Kim's alcoholism because it's so blatantly obvious to people on set, especially because they're waiting for hours for Kim to shoot and they're waiting on planes and because Kim's not there.
Yeah.
And so it's more obvious to them than maybe it is to us, because for a long time to us, it was hidden, the stuff that was going on backstage and stuff. But everybody needs to mind their own fucking business. But it's also because Kim won't just say all that fight at that trip when Lisa Rinna threw the glass and tried to strangle her turkey neck. Even that, if Kim was mad that they were talking about her sobriety again, instead of just saying, I appreciate that you guys are worried about me. I do have a problem. I'm working on it. I get that I'm not perfect, but I'm working on it. And thank you for caring. And if I do need to talk to somebody, I will come to you. That's it. Yeah.
And on top of that, because they had had that discussion of like, don't talk about this. And so Rinna was, even if I remember correctly, in that Amsterdam restaurant, Rinna was just trying to explain something in her life with her sister. And then she sort of was like, and that's why I sort of reacted to you that way, because of my sister. And that's when Kim's like, don't talk about me. You know, and you're like, it was so over the top. She was so sensitive about it.
Because Rinna was trying to say, I'm sorry that I'm talking about this so much, but the reason I am is because of my sister, and I won't talk about it anymore. Yeah. But that she even brought it up. Kim was like, I told you not to talk about it!
Yeah.
So this part is really good, because Rinna, first of all, can't possibly give a shit that Kim said something about Harry. I mean, that was so long ago. But she brings it up whenever it gets really bad with Kim.
Because I think on principle,
that's like her And so she's like, well, it hurt Harry, even though, you know, you never said anything, but people would come up to him in the street and say, what did you do, Harry Hamlin? And she goes, well, I said I'm sorry. And then Rinna goes, you know what, Kim? I get it. And I believe you. And I accept it. Thank you for your apology. And then Erica goes, good. I'm going to be an alcoholic if this shit keeps going on.
She's like, I told him if he wasn't the marrying kind, then move out of the way so the marrying kind could find me. A little August Wilson right there. Fences, Eileen. You like that?
Erica was so funny in this part. And she goes, wow, Riddle really turned that one around. I don't know how many lives that cat has left.
But I'm going to name my next song after it. Nine Pussy Surprise.
I'm going to become an alcoholic if this shit keeps up.
So funny. Carney, and no one really even got it. They just let her go. And then she slugs back a glass of wine.
So then,
but it was good because Rinna turned it all into Kim apologizing to her. And everyone's like, good, it's over. Kim said she was sorry.
But Carney also, it's funny, saying Carney also almost sounds like carne asada. But Carney also.
Delicious. Cancel Domino's.
But Carney was talking sense. And this is the sort of sense that has probably been needed to be vocalized probably 3 reunions ago. Carney's basically like, she tells Kim, you know, hey, these two women, Eden and Rinna, they've lost sisters to addiction. So if they judge too quickly, you have to be compassionate about it. And then Carney tells Rinna, and I think actually Eden again, like, you also have to understand, or maybe to the other women, she's like, you have to understand there's a reason why we drink. It's because there's fear and sadness inside, and you have to respect that too.
And she's like, we're loony.
We're wired differently.
Okay, we're loony ladies. We're wired this way. We're never going to be normal, okay? We drink to deal with our looniness.
We can't all be Wendy's. Yes. But we can go to Wendy's. So, but Carney was right. She was like, listen, everyone just think about these things. You know, like, think, you know, that these women have gone through a trauma in their lives and they have triggers. And these women over here, they have issues, and you have to be sensitive to that. And if you just are more aware of that, y'all can get along. I was like, Carney Wilson. I was doing the slow clap. I was doing the Erica Jane slow clap for her. I was like, thank God someone said it properly.
Yeah, people will listen to someone with cheesecake. And then Kim keeps going. She's like, yeah, well, I just can't have my world out there again because as hard as I worked this past 10 minutes, you know, I'm going to stand up for myself because I have felt like I was going to die. I could have been dead at any moment. You know, it was, I'm like, okay, so your Rena's like, okay, well, I'm sorry I hurt you, you know, and I'm sorry that you were so close to death with you, which you just basically admitted on national TV. So thanks.
Yeah. And Rena apologizes, and Carney and Claire are both like, Kim, you should accept this. We think she means it. Accept it, Kim. And then Vanderpump's like, I don't believe a single word of it.
She's like, well, it's not enough to just say it, Rena. You must mean it. Do you mean it? And she's like, I mean it, Vanderpump. Do you really, truly mean it? You can't just break a dish and glue it back together and expect it still to hold a Chilean sea bass, darling.
I'm like, how are you using that analogy? If anybody has been glued back together 20,000 times, it's Kim, and she's still here. Like, you're wrong, and I hate to say that to my queen, because you know I love me some Vanderpump, but shut up already, okay? This isn't about you either, lady. So Claire just adds in there. She's like, it might take a while for you to forgive, but you should forgive. And she's like, you're fired. And Carney's like, look what cheesecake can do.
It's true, actually. I mean, there's a reason why it was a recurring theme on the Golden Girls.
Yes. I mean, look what all those ladies went through.
Yeah.
Cheesecake heals all. Of course, Dorothy still did quit the show for some man, so whatever.
Yeah.
But then it continues on Twitter, because we've read some of Kim Richards' tweets, but Lisa Rinna's response has been the best. She put a picture of them shooting this day, and she goes, what you didn't see, baby, was me and Kim having another scene reconciling on the couch. And then you see all the lights on them while they're on a white couch holding hands and smiling at each other, because Kim just keeps adding her with all these hate tweets or whatever. And she's like, hearts, Kim Richards, hearts. Yeah,
exactly. Well, it was a great episode. Lots of interesting stuff. I'm exhausted.
That was really long.
Took a lot out of me. That took a lot out of me. So
that was really long, but this was an important episode of Beverly Hills for the season. So there you go.
It was good. So everyone, thanks for listening. I'm sure we'll have the listener spotlight back next week. Check your messages if you're doing that, if you're subscribing at that level, so that way you don't miss an opportunity. And guys, tomorrow, Married to Medicine, and then Summer House on Friday. We had a lot of fun recapping that one. So stay tuned. And thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening. Thanks for powering us over 850,000 listens. I mean, I can't believe it that we are within range of a million listens over 1 month. So that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's rad. Thanks, you guys. We love ya.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate the love and support you guys show us. If you have a minute, go to iTunes and leave a review. And if you don't want to do that, maybe next time you're talking to your friends about Bravo, you mention the podcast. Spreading the word really helps us grow, and it means the world to us. Also, check us out on Instagram and at Twitter. On Instagram, we're at Watch What Crappens. On Twitter, we're at What Crappens. You can also check out me and Ronnie on both platforms. Ronnie is at Ronnie Karam on both Instagram and Twitter, and I'm at B-Side Blog on Instagram and Twitter. Really, thank you guys so much. We really mean it. We appreciate the support. And even if you do none of those things, we're just happy you're listening. Thanks.